Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. Welcome in, everyone. Now, we've talked with Oklahoma Superintendent of Schools Ryan Walters a lot on the Reading, Writing, and Reason podcast and on the air. I saw the other day he's prepping Oklahoma for the demise of the Department of Education, yet I see him touted among the top three candidates to head that up. Can you head it up in order to help it take completely control of education back to the states? He joins us here on Talk Radio 1210. Superintendent, welcome back. Staying out of trouble, I hope, right? Or causing good trouble?
About to say, absolutely not staying out of trouble. But, you know, hey, can you guys imagine the Department of Education being shut down, power going to the states, states giving that power to parents, the innovation that's going to occur, the parents empowered, the student results. Isn't that an incredible? I mean, what an exciting time to be in education with President Trump coming back to the White House.
Well, you are one of the candidates, though, to be the Secretary of Education. So would your mission be then to start that, to be shutting out the lights in certain quarters?
Well, look, so my focus is on Oklahoma and making sure Oklahoma is leading in the America First agenda President Trump's. And President Trump has laid this out. He said he was going to close the Department of Education. What does that mean? That means no more of this nonsense as Joe Biden, Kamala Harris waking up one day in the summer telling us we have to allow boys and girls sports, boys and girls bathrooms, or they're going to sue us, right? That means no more CRT. That means no more Common Core math. You guys remember Common Core math?
Yep.
How silly that was? These are the things, because these aren't suggestions. These are things that the federal government has forced upon the states. Our founders never intended for education to be ruled from D.C. And I'm telling you right now, parents are fed up. They are fed up with their rights being taken from them. They're fed up by being told by bureaucrats what's best for their kids. And you eliminate that department, not only do you do away with all of those dictates, all of that federal overreach, you also empower states to truly solve their education problems. And I'm telling you right now, it's what we've done in the state of Oklahoma. Every step of the way, we empower parents. That's school choice. That's full transparency. That's transparency over curriculum, but also budgets. That is elections of school board members and superintendents and principals. This is the full on what it looks like to shift power from liberal bureaucrats to parents and taxpayers. It's a beautiful thing.
So, Ryan, is it that the Department of Education has their own bureaucrats that have some power of the funding, et cetera, to dictate? And that's one part. But if it went away, are you saying that Democrats, progressives, wouldn't be able to pass laws, or they wouldn't be as likely because they don't have any mechanism to execute them, and I guess to come up with ideas to torture people like you on what you're doing?
Look, that's exactly right. Because let me tell you, so I'm an elected official. I won my election in the state of Oklahoma, overwhelmingly crushed the liberal Democrats. Come into office, and the first thing I find is I start rolling back. I fire 150 bureaucrats up here because guess what my Democrat predecessor did? She weaponized this office against parents, against education. It was to push their agenda. That's the same thing that happens in D.C. D.C., it is controlled by bureaucrats that are being weaponized by Democrats to come in. They partner with the teachers union to attack parents, to attack true education. They push indoctrination. They push this agenda, and they threaten you if you don't do it. Think about it. They don't only threaten, you know, state officials like me. They're threatening teachers across the state, too. That whole Title IX initiative over the summer, it was crystal clear. It wasn't just state of Oklahoma, don't do this, or we'll prosecute you. It was your teachers. We'll come after an individual teacher if an individual teacher says, hey, Johnny, you can't go in the girls' bathroom. I'm sorry, Johnny. I know you might think you're a girl. You're not. I can't let you in the girls' bathroom. They were clear. They'd come after that teacher. That
wow.
is the kind of overreach they had over the summer, and that's what we've got to get away from. And if you destroy that department, to your point, liberal Democrats can't continue to weaponize it against the American people.
What's the mechanism for getting rid of it, though? Is this congressional action? And if so, how does that work? Give me your sense. You're on the front lines of this. Everybody says it. I say it. But I'm not exactly sure how to get rid of it.
Yeah, let me give you a few options here. And again, President Trump and his team, I know we're going to lay out a great plan with a lot of specificity, but I've already laid out some breadcrumbs of how they could do it. So let me give you a few examples. Number one, you could start downsizing all of the work being done there that's not exactly mentioned by congressional approval. What you see is that agency has grown and grown and grown over time. That's what bureaucracies do, right? And so there's so much you could come in and cut from day one with an executive order, day one with a Secretary of Education that comes in there and just nixes it. So I think there's a huge amount of the work, huge amount of the bureaucrats that can be gone day one. Part two, yes, you need congressional action to help do away with it in its entirety, and then you can move anything that you want is not going to be based out of D.C. at that point. You can give power over to the state. So you know, I hear people talk about certain programming. Well, look, that's up to the Trump team on how they want to deal with that. But there's plenty of ways that you could do school choice through a tax credit. Think about that. Think about if we pass universal school choice across the entire country as a tax credit. You don't need a federal Department of Education to oversee a tax credit. It's just okay. A tax credit. We do that here in Oklahoma.
Is there any role? What's the role? I put it this way. Oklahoma Superintendent Ryan Walters with us. What should the federal government do, if anything, in the field of education?
Nothing.
Okay, I thought you might say that, but okay, I was just...
Because, you know, everyone always brings up, well, what if someone's breaking the law in the school? It's like,
yes.
Well, you go to law enforcement. It's just like anything else. Like, you can't break the law. You know, you don't need a federal Department of Education to enforce the law. You can't break the law, period. So, like, that's what you have law enforcement for and other things like that. So this belief that all of a sudden, I mean, what, the schools are going to be overrun or something? Look, that's up for the states. Every state has a state department of education that is connected right there to the localities. Every state has local law enforcement. But to think that somebody from D.C. is actually helping something in a schoolhouse. I mean, think about this. The Federal Department of Education, $250 billion a year. They don't educate a single child up there. Okay, there's not a single kid being educated in that Department of Education. All they are doing is dictating an agenda down to you. They are not helping a single school in the country. Mm-hmm. They need to be out of it altogether.
What's the latest now, when we last talked with you, I guess it's been a few months, about the Bibles in the classroom or the Bible as an historical document? By the way, I don't know, you probably have been. My wife took me to the Museum of the Bible in Washington, and it's stunning. The American part of that, I particularly thought was really educational, really well done. What's the update from you in Oklahoma, what you're doing with that?
Yes, sir. So right now we are going through our processes here. We're having an open competition for vendors to come in and see who can produce the Bibles for us for the school year. So right now, yep, schools are required to use the Bible, and we're working now on purchasing those Bibles so that every classroom in the state of Oklahoma can have a Bible. So right now we're going through that process. But yes, sir, the guidelines have been laid out. Of course, your usual suspects, the ACLU, the Southern Poverty Law Center, are suing me in our state Supreme Court. But we're very, very confident about the results of that. And so we're moving forward 100 miles per hour ahead. We're going to keep on moving.
Are you heartened by – I wrote about this, Ryan, right before the election. It became apparent to me. Somebody sent me a stat, and I thought I was seeing it, that the transgender issues, particularly boys and girls sports – the Trump people spent $33 million. Looking back on it, I would advise they have spent $50 or $60 or $100 million. That issue was a tell on the radicalism of the other side.
You look, I mean, I saw, you know, one of the data analysis on the election said that the number one issue of why swing voters swung to Trump over President Trump over Kamala Harris was because they believed she was more focused on transgender issues in the economy. I mean, right. You see, President Trump has done such a great job of articulating, look, this is madness. This is nonsense. This doesn't help a single person. Lying to people doesn't help, right? We need to be focused on improving the quality of life for everyone. But think about when you lie to kids like that and tell them that they might be born in the wrong body, the destruction that does to an individual, and I can't tell you how many parents and grandparents I've sat with because of all the issues that have arisen in their family because somebody lied to their son or daughter about transgenderism. It is not true. We need to be basing our advice and our counsel to young people on fact, and we cannot allow left-wing bureaucrats to be doing that. And look, I think the Democrat Party, they have gone so radically to the left but they have lost the American people in its entirety. And I think that issue has really done them tremendous harm as a party.
People tell me all the time when we have you on, they want to know more about you, what you're doing, update. Where do we go?
Well, I sure appreciate that. My website is RyanWaltersForOklahoma.com. If you want to, we do updates there. But also, I'm very active on social media. Got into it with Gavin Newsom a few months ago on social media. So, you know, my Twitter is RyanWaltersSUPT, so Ryan Walters Superintendent on Twitter. But, yeah, we like to mix it up on there. We like to make sure that the public knows what we're working on. So, hey, I appreciate you guys. It's an exciting time to be an American, and I always appreciate y'all having me on.
Anytime, Ryan. Thank you very much. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Oklahoma Superintendent Ryan Walters here on Talk Radio 1210. All right, I take that. Well, he probably would take over and try to then start knocking the building down the next day. That was a great analysis, though. It's not easy. You heard him say the mechanism of trying to get rid of this. But certainly, it's a vehicle they use. It makes it easy for them to do all kinds of things, including during COVID, the stuff that they did. All right, phone lines are this, 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. Side question today, coming off Rosie the Riveter. Thank you, Richard. It was just such an angle. That was here, Rosie here. I mean, I was, Henry came up with the final. I was talking about the, like Vlad the Impaler we were going to do. And I didn't know if there was enough exciting thes.
It might be one of those down the line.
Yeah, down the line. But the posters, everybody's had one. Everyone's seen one. You know, tell the story. Tell us the story of that poster that you put up. You heard the Dr. J story, and it's true. It looked like his hair was moving. I think he took off from the foul line. That's the one he's talking about. I never saw Michael Jordan as an unbelievable otherworld dunker. He was kind of pedestrian, given his jumping ability and his athleticism. He didn't really do anything. Dr. J did. It was a different body, a different type. And I think it's the ability to grip a ball. I can't palm it. Henry, can you palm it?
I can palm it, yeah.
Yeah, if you can palm it, it makes a big difference. I think it gives you another 6 inches. If you're up around the rim and can palm it, you can dunk it. If you can't, you got to kind of cradle it.
Yeah. My only problem is I have like a negative vertical, so I'm not getting up towards the rim anyway.
All right. We'll trade you. 855-839. Then there's Dan, who's 6'8". I don't see any dunking, though.
I'd kill to be 6'8". I could definitely dunk.
Dan's under the weather a little bit, so let's think about him today. AT&T and Verizon Wireless just pushed pound 1210. Rick is in Tabernacle on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Rick. Good afternoon.
Hi, Dom.
Hi.
I think, first of all, that you should be more recognized for your role in putting Trump over the edge, way over the edge in Pennsylvania. I think Scott Pressler wouldn't have gotten the press. People wouldn't have known his objective had it not been you. So I think a cabinet post, maybe Secretary of Truthful Broadcasting would be appropriate for Don Giordano.
I'll just take that front seat asking a question. Now, I don't want the Trump press secretary. I'd like to ask KGB just one question, Rick. Thank you, though, Rick. We're proud of that. And Scott Pressler was just made for us. He was made for talk radio. You know, when I first saw him, I said, we got to get him on as much as possible to Dan.
Yeah. I sure like to see Kayleigh McEnany return to work for,
remember
for
the book?
For the team.
Flicking through
great.
The book. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she'd be very good.
All right. Back in the late 60s and early 70s, I was in high school and college. And in 1969, the film Easy Rider came out. And the classic culture-breaking poster was Dennis Hopper, Peter Fonda, Jack Nicholson wearing a football helmet on the back of Peter Fonda's motorcycle. And it was I saw that in almost every dorm room, community center, home bedrooms, home it was prolific everywhere.
Absolutely, Rick. Great one. Put that one down, Henry. That's one. Now, we weren't in the days of posters. I'm trying to remember how it was configured, but it was my two Johns. One was the Pope. The other was John Kennedy. I think every place in South Philly, I can't eat dinner here. You don't have that here. Plus, you have to have the slip covers with plastic on them so they don't get dirty. I mean, you couldn't be around. I don't know how that went away. I think it was not a poster, but it was something like that. That was a really good one, though. All right. Phone lines, you can get in at 855-839-1210. Scott Presler here at 2:30 today, now going to Jersey. And Paula Scanlon, remember her? Inspired by Riley Gaines, she was a University of Penn women's team swimmer who had to endure the naked Leah Thomas walking around. And she came out. She burst out. Whatever would happen to her, she was inspired by Gaines. She wants to come to Jersey and work with Presler, among other things. I think Presler and what's going to happen here in Jersey, not going to be easy still. Not a layup. But it's like a, you know, 7 or 8 foot bank shot can win the governor's race. People in Jersey are ready for this. And I'm not even sure who the Democrat will be. All right, 855-839-1210. You get on board. More calls coming up on Talk Radio 12.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, Dom G here, Dan O's show. You know, they're having a debate in city council today, the beginning of the arena nonsense in downtown Philadelphia. Linchpin of that, how magical it will be to ride SEPTA coming into town. Can you imagine? I'm just looking at this from the Inquirer. SEPTA now, come January, the fee, the daily fee, whatever, the amount to ride, whatever the...
A daily pass.
Pass would be, and anywhere, will be up 21%.
Oof.
21%, and there'll be service cuts, and they need billions and billions of dollars more. This is, I know the city of Philadelphia jumps out at you, but I would say SEPTA is more ill-run than the city of Philadelphia. That's saying something, I know. I think the school district of Philadelphia is more ill-run than Philadelphia, too. And we might do a side question someday. What is more ill-run than the federal government?
I got one.
That might, yes.
Well, the Sixers.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, my gosh.
That works. Tonight, Embiid coming back. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Potentially disastrous here. We'll see. 855-839-1210, you get in. Let's go to 1:30, Colonel Alan West here. Haven't spoken with him in a while. And don't forget, the man of the hour, Scott Presler, will be here at 2:30. You heard Jim Worthington, though. We are really lucky here in our area. And we have Linda Kearns, all right, right here, not just in Pennsylvania, right in our own area. We have three of the biggies that have moved Pennsylvania forward and are going to continue to be involved in moving them forward. I mean, Linda Kearns right now is still working on the Casey thing. By the way, an update. We had Dave McCormick on yesterday, and now Chuck Schumer relented earlier this morning and says he will seat him for orientation. And yet, somehow or another, Bob Casey continues, hoping to get to that trigger point, I guess, that would then give us a recount. Toward what point? I mean, I get it. I know how I am, and I share that with candidates. It'd be very hard to give up. But at this point, it's playing into the narrative of election denialism. That's what it's playing into. And somebody like Josh Shapiro doesn't like this because it reverberates. The vibe starts to come toward him. What are you saying about this, Josh? And you're going to start to see this once Trump takes office. Josh Shapiro is one of the leaders of the resistance. Is that the way he's going to play it? Let's go to John in Cheltenham. And John, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Good afternoon, John.
Hi, good afternoon, Dom. Thanks for having me on again. I wanted to give my iconic poster, goes back a few years. But back in the day, Raquel Welch was on a poster of 1 million, I think it was 1 million years BC.
Yes.
Was an iconic poster of her in that furry clad.
Here's a little quiz for you, John. What movie was that featured in prominently?
I think it was 1 million years BC, I believe.
No, I mean the poster itself was featured in it.
Oh my gosh.
Think of a prison.
Oh, my God.
Think of a prison.
Yes. I think it was...
Emery, do you know?
Go ahead, John.
Yes.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah, it showed the progression of, I think, for Rita Hayworth. I don't want to say the middle one because somebody has it as an answer, which is good. To Raquel Welch, the superior poster by far. Yes, I think.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Yeah, that was an incredible movie as well, too.
Very good, John. Thank you. We got you for that. Raquel Welch and that poster. Yes, I would certainly second that. And that's the moment. Doesn't he throw it at her poster? Yeah, fancy britches. And the rocks go through the wall, indicating he's escaped. So, yeah, definitely a biggie. All right, we started off today, though, telling you Tom Homan, hope to get him on the show soon, and others, including the Wall Street Journal, trying to predict how this is going to look, what they're going to do as far as deportations. And I played you, Scott Jennings on CNN made the best point of all, that there are approximately 1.3 to 1.6 million people here who already have a deportation order. So you start with them, you start with the criminals, either in their country or here, we don't need them, and you start with the national security risk, then what would be the next tier? Well, then what they would do after that, and that's going to take a little while, we would go to these big work sites employing people illegally, the employers, et cetera, and shut them down. They're illegal. The whole thing is illegal. They undercut American workers. After that, not sure what they would do. Will people self-deport? Yeah, I think any number of people will. How about those that don't? How will that work out? All right, I think that's a work in progress, a debate in progress. But that's a lot of, if Trump does that, say, in the first year, that's a pretty big check mark to say we're on the way to cleaning this stuff up. But that's the latest this morning of what this means and how it will shake out. Alan West will be here in a couple of minutes. The side question coming from Rosie the Riveter being in town yesterday. Here is, I love this, though, and I may stop this here at a certain point. I just wanted to, this is one of the guys, look, I had a no gloating with a lot of people. Look, they lost in their belief system and all that, unless they're obnoxious, you know, like the View people. There's a list to gloat. But I want to gloat with this guy, Professor Lichtman. This is cut 9. This is the guy that, oh, Kamala Harris is going to, based upon his rules, remember that, his keys to the election. How come he didn't notice that she got dumped pretty severely here? You know where this is going. Here's Professor Lichtman telling us his rules, his keys to who wins elections were solid. But you guessed it. There was a lot of misinformation, disinformation, and Fox News. Here's what he said.
What did you figure out about the analysis of the race?
Yes, as I said, things could go wrong. There could be unprecedented events that change the pattern of 160 years of history. That's what happened here. Two things. Number one, disinformation. We've always had disinformation, but disinformation has exploded to an unprecedented degree. You talked about a grievance election, but a lot of that grievance was driven by disinformation. Starts with Fox News and conservative media, conservative podcasters with tens of millions of views. But we've seen something brand new this time. The 300 billionaire Elon Musk putting his thumb on the scales through his control of X, formerly Twitter. It's been reported that his misinformation has had billions, literally billions of views. And this is...
Okay, let's stop it right there. Let's stop. I just want to get this clown on the record, right? This guy has been exposed all this time with the rules. Most of us were able to call most of these elections without a deep dive, he supposedly did. But it's disinformation and it's Elon Musk. Now, think back to FEMA. And here's Jesse Waters last night breaking down pretty well what's happened with FEMA. We now know. Now, look, not every rumor, not every person who talked about FEMA in North Carolina and Florida not doing the right thing by American citizens, slow walking, foot dragging, evading neighborhoods with Trump people. But we know that the woman who got fired, who was caught telling people to avoid the Trump areas, she's now said, well, this was a widespread policy. This is cut a lemon. It was not isolated.
Last week's election exposed how liberal media lied to your face to prop up Kamala. And now the left's been exposed again. Last month, after FEMA botched its Hurricane Helene response, Democrats got on their soapbox and blasted everybody who criticized the agency. Remember? Turns out the only ones politicizing the hurricane was FEMA. And that misinformation the left warned you about was true. According to a bombshell report by the Daily Wire, a FEMA manager told relief workers in Florida to not help homes with Trump signs. Internal messages obtained by the Daily Wire shows the list of rules for FEMA canvassers. Rule number two, avoid homes advertising Trump. So after FEMA confirmed that the messages were real, Director Deanne Criswell fired the employee and called her messages reprehensible. In response, the fired FEMA manager told Primetime that this wasn't an isolated incident. And quote, FEMA has made me a patsy. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is demanding a full investigation and wants every partisan bureaucrat fired. But it looks like the agency's problems go deeper than just one employee. We also found out that FEMA didn't answer half the calls it received for disaster aid. Half the calls to FEMA after the hurricane went to voicemail. No response.
All right, there, right, stop it right there. So Jesse Waters laying it out. And again, not every person, everybody that finds something is correct. Daily Wire did a great job here. Half the phone calls not answered. It's astounding. People knew that in North Carolina. They knew what was going on. We didn't know. The memo was out there. Avoid houses with Trump signs. Unbelievable. All right. The great Colonel Alan B. West next with Dom here on Talk Radio 1210. The NBA is back. And FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all the action. Right now, FanDuel is giving everyone 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do to catch every tip-off and buzzer beaters, place any $5 bet on the NBA to get 3 months of NBA League Pass courtesy of FanDuel. Just visit FanDuel.com/Dom to make every moment more this season. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 1210 WPHD. You have to be 21 plus, present in Pennsylvania. After 3 month free trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel anytime, no refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, it is Dom time, and it's always a great time. Haven't talked with him in quite a bit to see what he's up to and what he thinks of cabinet picks, the election, and Veterans Day yesterday. I know he was busy, but he's with us today, Colonel Alan B. West here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Colonel, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, always a pleasure to be with you, Dom, and thanks, Pennsylvania, for bringing it home.
Absolutely. Well, you know, one of the underrated things that happened here, I think, on the illegal immigration front are the policies of both DeSantis Abbott that make common sense. Seeing these people in New York City, seeing New York flooded and others, it kept the story going. And it wasn't just people in those places that had experienced it, but it just showed the enormity of the money spent, the $500 hotel rooms, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think without a doubt, when all of a sudden you have a Venezuelan gang called Trendyuragua showing up in your neighborhoods, in your backyards, when you see women that are being pickpocketed and being dragged down the streets on, you know, mopeds, and the level of crime that has increased. And I really think that it played a big deal with the black community coming out and saying, hey, look, why are you giving all of these benefits to people that are here illegally?
Yes.
When we have issues with the economy, we have issues with jobs, we have issues with education and, you know, crime in our neighborhoods. And again, these Soros-backed district attorneys and these judicial activists releasing violent criminals out on the street. So all of those things came to a head.
Without a doubt. Now, I thought about you. Great that you're on today. We know that Mike Walls, it's going to be the National mm-hmm. Security Advisor. I don't know if you have much connection. He's in Florida, too. You were in Florida. What are your thoughts mm-hmm. of him as national security? And who do you like for these areas that are your real wheelhouse of national security, mm-hmm. defense secretary, the current guy, very lackluster, to put it mildly?
Well, I will tell you that Mike Walsh and I, we just jumped together in Normandy back in June for the 80th anniversary. So I know him very well. And I think what he brings to the table is that unique combination of someone that has been on the ground, that understands the tactical implementation of decisions and policy, but he also understands the strategic level of policy because he's been up there before, and of course he understands the legislative side. So he's got a trifecta, and I believe that he has the right type of perspective, and he'll be able to give the president all of the right recommendations when it comes to his national security policy, which in turn drives things over there in the Pentagon across the Potomac as far as defense policy and strategy. I think that without a doubt, you know, Lloyd Austin served with him at Fort Bragg, always be Fort Bragg, and he just got caught up in the political side of things, you know, coming up through the Obama administration, what have you, and he leaned more so to the ideological agenda of the left and really our national security and our defense policy. So I think President Trump needs to make sure that he gets some folks over there, not just at that top level of the Secretary of Defense, but you got to go seven levels deep.
How do you do that, though? You have to have somebody who's the czar of that, like you, that would know and vet people. I agree with you because they slow walk it. We go through another 4 years, and it's the same stuff.
You're absolutely right. And so you've got to go deep into those people that have been those bureaucrats that are there too daggum long. And you need to be able to say, hey, it's time for you to go and bring in some fresh blood and fresh perspectives, especially when you see that the way that warfare has changed and you need to have that shift in paradigm. And, you know, this whole thing about the long lag time that it takes for us to field weapon systems and things of that nature, we've got to turn that around.
What is doing that? Is it just the number? I mean, I broadcast from the Pentagon once, and I told listeners, we had a guide, and I wouldn't say the guide exactly got lost to get to the thing, but he was fumbling around just the parking lot. There's like 80,000 parking lots to find your car right there just by that one broadcast. I thought, it's too much here. The bureaucracy here is unbelievable.
Well, and that's what I think. We've gotten too top-heavy, even when you look at the Defense Department. And really, a lot of these combatant commands, being that, you know, Pacific Command, Central Command, Southcom, what have you, AFRICOM, we've got to make sure that we have those lean bureaucracies. We have to have those lean headquarters because the emphasis has to be on the warfighter and making them effective. And I think the most important thing is that we have to get away from what I call an occupation military mindset and get more so to a power projection military, not a forward deploy, but a power projection military. And we've got to focus on the core competencies. You know, you got to recruit, you got to retain people, you got to train them, you got to equip them, you've got to deploy them, they got to understand how to fight, and then you have to take care of their families. And I think that President Trump understood that we can have these limited strike type of operations. You want al-Baghdadi, you go in there and you get al-Baghdadi. You want to get rid of Qasem Soleimani, you get rid of Qasem Soleimani. Look at what the Israelis have done by decapitating the leadership of Hezbollah and Hamas.
And the phones, so blowing up phones.
All of these things. I mean, so we have to have those asymmetrical means by which we can prosecute warfare, especially against non-state, non-uniform belligerents. And that includes the transnational narco-criminal terrorists known as the cartels.
Yeah, let's go to that last part, that too. Now, DeSantis has been the most where I had faith he would drill down and do this, actually talking about bombing the cartels, which would be a big step forward. I think the American people support it. What are your thoughts and what are the repercussions of doing something tactical there?
Well, I would tell you there are four elements to a nation's power. It's called the dime theory: diplomatic, informational, military, and economic. I think first and foremost, you use the diplomatic, stick, and you talk to the president of Mexico and say, hey, look, you got to stop this. You got to curtail these guys. We'll help you in doing it. You got to look at the economic aspect, what you can put pressure on them. One of the things that, you know, people talk about, how are you going to fund these deportations and everything? Find these cartel members that live here in the United States of America and start putting a kibosh on their on them and seizing their property. Cut down on the remittances that illegals are sending back into Mexico. And then also, you know, you've got to make sure that you undermine the human and sex trafficking operations, which is where they make most of their money, because you can reuse a human. And sadly, we've got to find 300,000 children that the Biden-Harris administration has lost. So I think that you want to try to use and all of those aspects to undermine their power, cut off their finances and their revenue. And then if necessary, you take out their, you know, armed capability to be able to, you know, do what they're doing and bringing folks across this border illegally. I tell you, if you come across this border in the United States of America, single military age male, and you're armed, guess what? Trigger's going to get pulled on you.
I hear you. Deportations. I'm in the camp that thinks when Trump said mass deportation, sometimes he put in criminal. It would be criminal, national security. And also, there are about 1.5 million, it's guesstimated, I guess, people, Colonel, who have an order to be deported that haven't been found and or are sitting there, and they're not leaving. They weren't deported.
Yeah, I mean, the Biden-Harris administration basically told ICE to stand down. And you're already seeing an increase in their motivation and enthusiasm with Tom Homan being up there at the helm, being at the ICE or the Border Patrol. Look, you have to develop an evaluative criteria, and he's got it right. If you're a domestic security threat, criminal, national security threat, we got to find you, we got to get you out. And you got to develop tiers, T-I-E-R, tiers, tier one, tier two, tier three, tier four, what have you. And you got to start looking at these 25 to 30,000 single military age male Chinese, 425,000 criminals, to include 30,000 murderers and rapists, 1.5 to 2 million gotaways, people that we don't know who they are. We got to track these folks down on top of the individuals that should have been deported out anyhow over the past 3.5 years of this administration, and they refused to do so. And this whole thing about sanctuary cities, we're going to, you know, read to them the Constitution, the Supremacy Clause, which says that as long as the federal government is doing the things in pursuance thereof to the rule of law, they're the supreme law of the land. And so these governors can stand up there and beat their chest and talk about, you got to come through me over my, you know, dead body, whatever. Well, you know what? You may find yourself getting read up on charges if you're obstructing the implementation of law, which precludes people from being in this country legally.
How do you see that playing out, though? The sanctuary, even our mayor of Philadelphia, I meant to mention this to listeners, Sherelle Parker, did a news conference last Friday. And all she said about the sanctuary city status was, we'll have to see. Big change from the previous mayor, Jim Kenney, who took Trump on this, is the leverage funding, or you went one step further, which is violation of law by the people who are continuing this.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's very clear and simple. Either you respect the laws of the United States of America and our sovereignty, you are harboring criminals. You are harboring people that are here illegally, and that just cannot fly. And I think that when you look at the results of this election, I mean, look at that map of the United States of America by county based upon 2024 election. It's very clear what the American people want. And I think if the Democrats want to stand and die on that hill, it's a very bad hill to die on.
Exactly. What are you doing right now, Colonel West, other than the stuff that you're usually involved in? What's the portfolio for Allen B. West? Listeners always ask when you're on.
Well, I tell you, we had incredible success here in Dallas County, even though it's a blue county. We decreased the voter differential with the Democrats by like 110,000. 4 years ago, Trump was down by 291,000. We brought that down to 181,000. We won back 7 out of 8 Court of Appeals judicial positions here in Dallas County. And you think about what happened in Texas. I mean, I think it was 12 or 14 border counties were won by Republicans to the point where the Democrat chairman of Texas resigned last Wednesday. So we are doing the things that are necessary to shrink this blue infestation in our major urban population centers.
Houston next, right? That's the next thing.
Yeah, Houston, Harris County is next. I mean, Travis County and Austin, Texas might take a while. But definitely here in Dallas County, Houston, Harris County, and maybe San Antonio and Bexar County as well.
Now, we feel for you on the football front, so I guess you're reverting to college football, given the state of Jerry Jones and the Cowboys.
Oh, look, folks are clamoring down here. They are not happy, and especially with the drubbing that y'all just put on them, 34-6, you know, here in Texas. But, you know, I'm a Tennessee Volunteer, and I think right now we're sitting at 5 or 6 in the country. We've got a big game against Georgia in Athens, and I think this could really determine and shape the college football playoffs. So I'll be cheering for my Tennessee Vols this Saturday.
I know you'll be doing that. Where do we find all things Alan B. West?
You find me on all those social media platforms except that TikTok, because I don't support that Chinese Communist Party, the American Constitutional Rights Union, theacru.org, and, of course, follow us on the Steadfast and Loyal podcast.
Colonel, hope to see you in the area soon. Thank you, Colonel. Have great holidays if
God
I don't
bless.
See you.
You too. Happy Thanksgiving, Dom.
Colonel Alan B. West here on Talk Radio 1210. Wow, I didn't even have a question mark down here. Just swerved off and I could talk with him for hours. All right, coming to your calls next. At 2:30, Scott Presler here, and he's coming to Jersey. I'll read you the headline next of this newspaper. It goes, uh-oh, Scott Presler's coming here. All right? They call him dangerous to the establishment.
God.
Yeah, to put it mildly. They don't mean a bad way. They mean dangerous in the sense of overthrowing us. Phil Murphy, get ready. All right. Let's talk about Dr. Bentz. My friend, Dennis, board-certified prostodontist, Dr. Robert Bentz of the Bentz Dental Group, in East Norriton. There are so many things that set Dr. Bentz apart from other dentists. And that's why I told you, routinely, dentists, I've been there, I've seen it. When I go out for visits or my own care, they send patients that are more complex to Dr. Bentz. And when talking with him recently, did this 20-minute sit-down with him, and we're playing some of this as we go to give you a sense of his practice. He talked about the importance of technology in everyday work. Cutting-edge, state-of-the-art equipment is what elevates the level of care offered. His on-site lab and technology he has on hand every day, they help him provide you with the most accurate, consistent, precise diagnosis. And then your mouth, your teeth, your oral health. He'll show it to you. I mean, his buy-in with the patient to let you see what he sees and what happens next for great care. To get you on footing where you're not worried about the dentist and all that. It's just maintenance care year over year. Dr. Bentz and the team at Bentz Dental Group, they provide solutions even for the most complex dental areas. Get that initial appointment. I tell you this all the time. You're not going to find better dentistry. You're not going to find better staff. And again, the technology. Dan and I kid about the 3D printer. It's wonderful. And he's been doing this for 10 years since I've been there. He's way ahead of the curve. Call him for that initial appointment at 610-272-6949 or visit BentzDentalGroup.com. 610-272-6949. Bentz Dental Group. Say it with a smile. All right, it is Dom time on my Twitter at DomShow12. Dan, thanks Newman Price. Talk about posters. Scott Presler to the rescue. It's got that iconic shot of the Washington's army going across the Delaware with Scott Presler in the position of Washington. And Fishapine, Leslie, Bryn Mawr, great poster. This was everywhere, including my own dorm room. Hang in there, baby. The cat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pull up. That is a great post. This is a good one. We'll have to come back to it in, you know, 6 months or something.
Oh, yeah. You can even spin off with just classic inspirational posters like that.
Exactly.
Like, that's an all-time.
Exactly. Yeah, all-time poster. Thanks to Richard of Summerdale for that yesterday. And Presler here at 2:30 today. Chris in Malvern. All right, Chris, afternoon. What do you have today?
So I figure Shapiro can recreate Obama's hope by conjuring Elaine standing up to the soup Nazi. Next!
Very nice, yeah. The Obama poster, though, was well-received. Still, you know, the hope and change. Nebulous, but effective. Very good, thank you. Here's the headline of one report. I think it's a Western Journal. Western Journal writing about him. Democrats have another problem to worry about. So tapping into the election. Democrats have another problem to worry about, as a man who helped Trump win has eyes on the ultimate blue state. And it's an article about Scott Presler. And in here, I happen to see as I was going through it that Independent Women's Forum Ambassador Paula Scanlon responded on Twitter. She wants to help with what Presler's doing, registering new Republican voters in New Jersey. Paula Scanlon's next. She's a young woman who, inspired by Riley Gaines, who was front and center, finally came out to talk about what it was like to be on the Penn swim team with a naked Leah Thomas walking around. I'm sure Democrats would have said, well, what's wrong with that? That sounds like you're slurring people by mentioning that. No, I don't think so. By the way, Riley Gaines says it takes 15 to 20 minutes to get into the swimsuit because it's contoured for maximum aerodynamics. Imagine having to do that with Leah Thomas strutting around there. You know, that's a little bit different to see. Oh, my God. Paula Scanlon is next. We'll catch up with her. And she wants to come to New Jersey, as I said, to turn it red when it comes to the governor's race. But we're going to start paying attention to the governor's race. Not the same thing as presidential, but if we turn that red in New Jersey, think about this upcoming summer. I'm already thinking of Johnny Z, who said, got to get Scott back since Jersey's in play. You saw the lines. You know what happened this time. Can we win that one? And I would say, absolutely. I'd put it on almost even money at this point to win the state house in Jersey. There are going to be two big races this year. They're, you know, off years. It's the governor's race in Virginia. I'm looking for Winsome Sears. And it's a governor's race in New Jersey. Big. And Presler is there. All right. Your calls, too. We're going to get a winner here somehow or another. These are great posters. Big 2 o'clock hour. Dom's Money Melody also on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano. Weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.